Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii and Boston, Massachusetts. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. What would cause a man who has had a successful career of 43 years in radio, audio, and television to transition into full-time mission work in a foreign country? It's the story of Jeffrey Anderson. When most people are slowing down, he's revving up to a new dynamic season of life. Where do you get that kind of drive, power, vision, excitement? Jeffrey would say it comes through Christ, his relationship with Jesus. And that's why we pause at the beginning of every broadcast to remind you the reason we have the Good Life Radio Show is to bring you closer. You, our friend, closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that whatever you're facing, whatever you're going through, by God's grace, through Christ, he can raise you up and he can rev you up, even as he's done in the life of Jeff Anderson. He loves you so much. Christ died on the cross for your sins. He shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave. And today, dear one, the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you open your heart to Jesus? Would you receive him as your Savior and Lord? Well, that's our hope. That's our prayer, that you would indeed do so. Yes, Jeff and I pray that you would come to know Jesus. Jeffrey Anderson is the president of Jeffrey P. Anderson & Associates. He's a producer at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia, and is connected now to Far Eastern Broadcasting. He'll talk more about that. He's married to Beverly. They have one son and one daughter. Jeffrey, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much, Danny.
Where did you grow up?
Danny, I grew up in the Boston, Massachusetts area. We went to church in a very liberal denomination. My family were pillars of the church, and, you know, we all agreed in our head that Jesus was the Son of God. What did it mean to us? It wasn't until I got away from there, went to school in the South at the University of Miami, that I really had the opportunity to come to know Jesus personally as my personal Lord and Savior.
Tell us about that. How did that happen? What did God do in your life at that time?
I was a senior at the University of Miami, Danny, and one night, two Campus Crusade for Christ volunteers came knocking on my dormitory room door, invited me to come to the Sunday evening meeting. I did. That was in December of 1970. I loved the meeting, absolutely fantastic. And it wasn't just because the Miami School of Modeling sent their models there, too. Something kept drawing me back, and it was the love of Jesus. I kept coming back every Sunday night, and a humorous aspect of this is I had a Jewish girlfriend at the time, and I kept telling her, you got to come to this meeting, you got to go to this meeting. She says, okay, I'll come. But when we got there, she said, let's sit up back. I don't want anybody to see me, a Jewish girl, at this Christian meeting. We sat down, and there was a tap at her shoulder, and this girl behind us says, Schlossberg, what are you doing here? And she says, Bernstein, what are you doing here? Another one of her Jewish dorm mates had come to see about this Jesus. But anyway, I kept coming to the meetings, and in March of 1971, 4 months later, through a Campus Crusade, and area churches sponsored a week-long crusade with an evangelist named Arthur Blessed, the guy who carried the cross around the world.
Right.
My first night at this crusade, he hammered home the need to be born again. And it was the first time I realized, to my shock, I was not a Christian, that if I died that night, I'd go to hell. He emphasized that you would have a new life with Christ. And Danny, I was living and loving my sinful horrible life. I just loved the sin that I was in with the booze, and I had my girlfriend, and yet I had three other girls on the side. None of them knew each other about the other one. I was big man on campus. We had, 10,000 students there, and I was probably among the most 50 well-known and popular students on campus. Mm-hmm. I had everything going for me, and when it came time to pray the prayer of salvation that night, I said, "I'm sorry, Lord, I cannot do this." The next day, as I was riding home from my internship at the ABC TV station in Miami, I was riding my motorcycle, and a scripture hit me, John 3:16. Everyone knows that, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." And it really knocked me for a loop again how much God loves me, that he would give Jesus for me. And secondly, I reasoned that if God is God, he has to be perfect. Therefore, the new life he had waiting for me had to be more perfect, more loving than the sinful mud I was in. And so that night I went back to the crusade meeting, and when it came time for the salvation prayer, he asked those who wanted to be saved, raise their hands and pray this prayer. And Danny, when I did, a spiritual lightning bolt just hit my fingers, down my hand, my arm, my body. My head was like the 4th of July with fireworks and pinwheels and shooting stars going off in it. I was just absolutely transformed. It was just phenomenal.
What happened after that?
Well, praise God. The fellows at Camp Crusade for Christ just took me under their wings even further. You know, they said, "We thought you were a Christian." I said, "So did I." I had even gone out witnessing with them on one occasion. But they discipled me. They gave me for graduation a few months later a devotional, Danny, within years in tatters. I just went through it so many times.
Wow.
And I came home to my old unsaved church and thought that maybe the gospel had always been preached and I just missed it. And as I sat there, I thought, hey, wait a minute. The pastor doesn't even believe. I'm about the only believer in this church. So I started volunteering to teach Sunday school. I mean, why not? Got to do something with my faith. I started teaching 5th grade Sunday school from the far left-wing curriculum, and one day one of my students asked, "Mr. Anderson, what's a Christian?" Another one quickly asked, "Am I a Christian?" And another one quickly asked, "How do you become a Christian?" I said, "Okay, guys and gals, let's put away the curriculum. Let's go down the Roman road." And I went through key scriptures in the book of Romans for these 5th graders. Every single one of them prayed to receive Christ. And the next week when they came back, they were so excited. One little girl said, "Mr. Anderson, I was so excited that I went outside the building after Sunday school and told my parents, 'Mommy, Daddy, you're going to hell unless you get born again.'" I said, "Oh, Laurel, that's not the way you tell people about Jesus." And another young girl said, "Mr. Anderson, remember I was telling you about George, a boy in my class who I hated?" "Yes." "Well, I don't hate him anymore." I mean, just seeing in one week what God can do in those kids' lives.
Mm-hmm.
Just fantastic.
Who would you say in those early years, who influenced you most in your growth?
Well, I started going to a charismatic Baptist church in southern New Hampshire, Salem, New Hampshire, First Baptist Church. It was a leading light for the charismatic movement in southern New Hampshire, northeast Massachusetts. And there were 102 American Baptist churches in the state of New Hampshire. And in one year, 1973, we put more people through the baptismal tank than the other 101 American Baptist churches in New Hampshire put through combined. We had revival. People were just flocking in the doors, man. I mean, we had like 200 people through the baptism tanks in just one year. And we're not that large of a church. But the pastor there, Gary Clark, was definitely my biggest influence on my growth, on my life. It's just phenomenal what he did.
In what way? In what way, Jeff? How did he influence you?
Well, he had a cell group that he invited my wife and myself to. They were a part of for discipling us. He took me under his wing when it came time to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Prayed with me 45 minutes until, bang, the Holy Spirit's fullness descended upon me. He had excellent teaching in his Bible studies, in his Wednesday night prayer meeting, in his Sunday morning and Sunday evening services. I ended up serving on the board of deacons there. I was his head deacon for a year. And his youth pastor, Chip Sutton, was my other mentor. Chip very much was a wonderful, well-rounded man of God who preached the gospel from the social end. Very, very born again, very spirit-filled, but the need for helping the poor. And I kept thinking, oh, come on, Chip, get people saved, get people saved. One night, I was in the shower, Danny, and all of a sudden, the Spirit just hit me that Chip's words were so true, and I started bawling my eyes out for ignoring the plight of the poor and the needy, and it just radically changed my walk with the Lord through Chip.
Let's go there. Take a moment. How did it change you? How did that understanding, that awareness change you?
Well, we had a house with an extra bedroom, so we started taking in people who needed a place to stay. We, one Christmas, took in this man who was going through a divorce, and we gave him a couple of Christmas presents, and he broke down crying. He says, "You're the only one who remembered me at Christmas and actually gave me something." Mm. When we moved here to Virginia Beach in 1982, we purposely bought a house with an extra bedroom. We called the Lord's Room, and we would open it up to people coming through, vagrants showing up at our church, need a place to stay. We'd take them in for a while, for several days or several weeks, and anybody needing a place. And now at Regent University, we've had international students stay with us for a year at a time. It's just fantastic to minister to people who have a need for a home or room.
Buying a home with an extra room for a dedicated purpose for people to stay, people in need, to have a place to stay, to regroup, to recover, to reset. And you provided that. We're listening to Jeffrey Anderson. Jeffrey has had an extremely successful career in media. In fact, we need to talk about media. I'm wondering, how did he get into it? How did he become so passionate about it, so skilled at it? And then furthermore, last in it, stay with it for so long. Where does this kind of focus, this kind of passion come from? Christ can make that kind of a difference in the lives of people. But if you listen closely to what Jeffrey is saying, and when we come back from our break, he'll share more about this. But his practical application to what the Spirit of God says to him through the Word, he acts on it. He moves by it. And God has transformed him, people around him, and people all over the world because of that kind of obedience. When we come back, we'll hear more about that, and we'll be inspired, I believe, to be more like that. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I lead you home.
Do you have a need that you would like prayer for? We have a dedicated prayer team who prays for and encourages everyone who needs some encouragement. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com and use the Contact Us page to send your prayer request. May the Lord bless you.
To The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You know, it goes step by step. The life of faith is like that, step by step, and it's like muscles that grow. So Jeff Anderson is follows the leading of the Lord. He and his wife, Beverly, they buy a home with an extra room to make room in their home and make room in their heart for the Lord to bring people in. But the Lord, through that, continued to work, continued to move, continued to expand. And as we respond to the Lord in that way, I believe he causes expansion to take place in our lives as well. You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. I'm so grateful you're with us today. If you're tuning in right now and want to get this program in its entirety, I encourage you to do so. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and get this and other resources, again, at thegoodlifehawaii.com. So, Jeff, you open up your home, people come in, and God expands your capacities. How did he touch your heart to get involved in the media ministry?
Well, I was trained in it, Danny, at the University of Miami. But when I graduated in 1971, I came out right in the middle of Richard Nixon's recession. And I spent, from 71 to 76, either unemployed or digging ditches as a manual laborer for my town's water department. And then one evening, our pastor, Gary Clark, there in Salem, New Hampshire, comes to me and says, Christian Broadcasting Network is coming around. They're going to interview someone to open up a telephone counseling center for the 700 Club here in New England. Fill out this application. I think you're the man for it. I filled it out. The guy from CBN came and did interviews, and 2 weeks later called me back and said, you're hired. And that's been the start of my career with Pat Robertson. And other than work on the mission field in Japan in the late 80s, Pat Robertson has been my only full-time employer for the past 40 years.
Wow. What has it been like?
A dream come true. You know, if you love your job, you never work a day in your life, and that's about
right.
It for me.
Yeah. Well, go on. I mean, what do you mean by that?
I have a love for the media, and I loved working there. In New England, I had the counseling center for 1 year before CBN opened a television station, WXNE-TV, in Boston. And that was my passion, television production, so I transferred into there and worked 5 more years there. Then they acquired Middle East Television, the station in southern Lebanon that was broadcasting the gospel throughout the Middle East in 1982. So I was brought down to Virginia Beach to be the programming and operations manager of that for 5 years. Before God bit me with the missions bug. And we had friends who were missionaries in Ghana, and I would always say, well, I'm a missionary too. I'm here, you know, broadcasting the gospel to the Middle East. And the Holy Spirit would laugh at me and say, you call yourself a missionary? Get out on the front lines. So our pastor from New Hampshire, now we're in Virginia Beach 5 years later, he comes visiting through Virginia Beach, and he is now a missionary. And I said, why should I give up my career for missions? He said, I did. I could have been the pastor at Salem Baptist Church for the rest of my life. But God really put me into missions, called me into it. You ought to look into it too, being a tent maker missionary, where you work bivocational. You know, you have a job overseas, and you witness on the job and do church work in your free time. So I went and contacted a group, which is pretty much they're all the Christian overseas agencies are pretty much out of business now with the internet, but it was from Christa Ministries, Tent Makers International up in Washington, D.C., the state of Washington. And I contacted them, and I said, are there any TV jobs overseas? And I said, nope. But you want to get overseas? You got a bachelor's degree? Yes. You're native-born English speaker? Yes. And you can teach English as a second language. And by golly, a few months later, my wife, two children, and I were living in a tiny 3-room apartment in Tokyo, Japan. I was teaching English during the day in downtown Tokyo. I was witnessing to my students left and right. My students were businessmen, English students, who worked for a large 10,000 employee insurance company, and they were being sent overseas, some for master's degrees, some to work in their foreign offices, and they needed English to be better English speakers. So I would do things like, well, if you're going overseas to America, you need to understand Western thought, and it comes from this. And I go through the 4 spiritual laws with them. And, you know, you really need to find what a church service is because you're going to be invited to church. So come on to church with me, International Christian Assembly, there at the American Club in Tokyo. And I did all sorts of things. I'd pray with them, and during my lunch hours, I would teach English from the Bible to some of the office ladies there. I'd have a Thursday lunch hour English class with up to 13 office ladies teaching from the Bible. It was just, Danny, it was the best years of my life, absolutely tremendous. And we came home in 89, and I thought, well, I guess I'd done my part. I went back to work for CBN for a year, and then a year later in 1991, I was working a part-time job on the side at Regent University, doing what I'm doing now, and one day the dean came in and says, hey, we're going to make this full-time. You want it or not? I said, yeah. So I went full-time in 91, and that helped me to get a free master's degree in media management from Regent University. And that's what I've been doing to make my money. Now, in 1994, I was contacted by one of the professors at Regent. There was a group in the Middle East looking into perhaps doing satellite Christian broadcasting throughout the Middle East. And they wanted some consultants to work on their project to see if it would be viable. Would I be one of the consultants on the team? I said, sure. So I did a bunch of reports on international contracts, programming, international co-production, scheduling, programming, pricing, and what have you. And they loved my work and contracted me for a second contract of work for them. When I was through, they said, you know, this whole program is going to be a go. And that was the birth of Sat-7 in the Middle East and North Africa, Christian broadcasting via satellite television. About that time, my daughter turned 13, and she said, Dad, I'd like to go on a missions trip. I said, we've already done our missions work. She said, no, I want to get back into it again. I'd like to go with YWAM on a missions trip this summer to Miami, Florida. I said, well, okay. And she went, and the next year she says, hey, Dad, I'd like to go international this time to Venezuela with Teen Mania. Well, man, all of a sudden my son says, well, I want to go too. For the next several years, they were going to Venezuela, and my daughter also to Hong Kong and Peru. And in fact, she did two trips to Hong Kong and China, and she took off after her senior year. She took a gap year between high school and college to do a work with the Honor Academy there at Teen Mania. She then graduated college, and she says, hey, I want to serve the Lord. So overseas, she went to China for 9 years of teaching, and while she was there teaching in a Christian international school, they paid for her to get a master's degree in education, and it's been fantastic. She's home now. She's home from China, and she's about to start a new job here, but she's looking to continue on in a couple of years. She's looking into another part of the world. It's so closed, I can't say what it is, but she's looking into being a bivocational missionary there. Now, when our kids started going to college in 2000, my wife and I said, well, I guess it's our turn. And we have been overseas every summer since 2000 working for the Lord. In fact, since 93, my son, wife, daughter, and myself have been on 25 summer mission trips combined, the four of us.
Wow.
It is living and breathing. Mm. It is just fantastic.
We
love missions.
It emanates from you, Jeff Anderson. I mean, I haven't been around you. It doesn't take long to be around you, and you're going to talk about missions. But not only that, you're not only talking about it. Of course, you've done a lot of it. But you are taking a gigantic step in this season of life where most people are looking to taper things down and to, quote-unquote, enjoy these remaining years. You're going to do something else. What is it?
Well, Danny, funny you should bring that up. You know, because following that Sat-7 consulting I did, a year later was hired as a television programmer for a little Christian TV station just starting up in Mongolia called Eagle TV. That TV station has turned the entire country of Mongolia around. In 1990, there was not one indigenous Christian, Mongolian Christian. Today, 26 years later, there's 80,000 Christians in Mongolia. Mongolia is now considered a rich nation because it has over 2% evangelical believers. And so I've been helping over the years, keeping my hand in media. I have my own international television consulting company, as you said, Jeffrey P. Anderson, International Television Programming Productions and startups, and I help Christians overseas start up TV stations, program them for them, and advise them on productions. So I've always kept my hand in the media while working at Regent University as an online producer for internet courses. Well, my wife and I last May came home from our 14th straight missions trip, and the family's 25th. It was to Japan with Operation Blessing. We got off the plane, and my wife says, boy, that is it. No more of these trips for me. I'm 68 years old. My body can't take it anymore. Well, what are you going to do, God? We got this missions bug. We got home, sorted through our mail, and there was a check in the mail from one of our supporters. It was for $5. And on the line it said, memo line, it said, seed. We thought, seed? What for? We also got contacted by a family from Indonesia who were living in Maryland. We had met them just before going to Japan when they brought their two daughters down to Booker Ridge University. They gave us a call after we got back from Japan a month later and said, we'd like to come down from Maryland to see you. There's a reason for this.
Jeff, hang on. I'm going to push the pause button on this because when we come back from our break, I want you to tell the rest of the story.
Okay.
And I'm on. You know, I'm on the precipice. I'm on the edge right now. And I believe our listeners right now are waiting to hear what you're going to say. You see, God brings us to those points. I mean, these are exciting moments. Sometimes we don't even know what they are. It's in some seeming capacity that you didn't even really recognize. What does a seed mean for $5? Where will it lead? What will it potentially multiply into? Don't overlook the little things, because the little things in God are big things. He's doing it in your life even right now. Jeffrey Anderson will share more when we come back. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
We trust that God has encouraged and inspired you through our program. One common thread among all our guests is that relationships are a key to living well. We at The Good Life want to encourage you to get involved in your local church and find a small group where you too can find healthy relationships that will further bless your life.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
I want you to imagine with me for a while. Just imagine this, okay? You're in your later 60s. And you just get back from a missions trip, and it's arduous, it's draining, it's tiring. You come back, you just want to relax, and you say to yourself, you know, I think I'm done with this. I've been doing these mission trips, you know, successively all through these years, but I think I'm done. So you go home, look at the on your dining table, and there's a piece of mail, and in that mail, there is a check for $5. And in the memo, it says seed. What would you do? What would you think? What does that mean? You're listening to The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro with Jeffrey Anderson from Virginia Beach, Virginia. And he's with us to tell his side of that story. That's his story. He and his wife, Beverly. Jeffrey, what happened?
Well, the Indonesians called us and said, we'd like to come down and see you again. And we didn't know why, but fine, they came down from Maryland and came in our front door and said, we came here to the United States a few months ago to start a ministry and get our daughters into an American school. Well, we can't get work visas, so we can't support a ministry, and our daughters did not pass the TOEFL English exams, so we're going to go back to Indonesia. We figured, why did we come here? We must have missed the Lord's calling, but now we know why we came here. It's to do this. We want to encourage you in missions. That's why we came to America. And they handed us an envelope with five $100 bills in it. And, man, the tears flowed. It's just fantastic. That's what God's calling us to. Well, on the National Religious Broadcasters, I serve on the International Committee. And the NIB has 7 different committees, TV, church media, radio, et cetera, et cetera. And once a year, in June, we have our committee meetings up in D.C. for a couple of days. So the next month, I went up there with my resume, and I was going to pass one out, buttonhole every person on the international committee. On the committee was a man who was assistant to the president of Reach Beyond, formerly HCJB, headquartered in Colorado. And also on the committee was Ed Cannon, president of Far East Broadcasting. Ed took one look at my resume and said, "I want you." And the guy who reached beyond says, "I'll take this back to the president. Somebody will get back to you." So now I had 2 mission agencies interested in me. I kept calling and calling Ed for the next few weeks. His secretary kept saying, "I'm sorry, he's out of the country. He's traveling. He'll try and get back to you." And never heard a word. But meanwhile, Reach Beyond had gotten in touch with me and offered me a missions position with them, doing evangelism through English as a second language on the internet. I went to my pastors about it, and they prayed and said, "No, this isn't for you. This is for somebody with just out of college, entry level, not somebody with 40-plus years in the media." So I told Reach Beyond, "I'm sorry, no." And they came back with, on a Friday afternoon, "Well, as long as you're going to stay in Virginia Beach, we can't use you." Okay, is that the end of it? No way, Danny. 2 hours later, I get an email from FEBC from a man named Guy West, who has later become my boss. He says, "Hey, I met with Ed. He wants you on board with FEBC. Let's talk."
FEBC, Far Eastern Broadcasting.
Far East Broadcasting, right.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've gone through all the hoops and everything, and I'm about to start raising my support. What I'm going to do, they offered to move us to Singapore, but I said 10 years ago, yes, but now I'm 66, my wife's 68, and her health wouldn't really tolerate that in Singapore. I'd like to live in Virginia Beach and commute to Asia, and they have agreed to that. I am going to be working from home part of the time and commuting to Asia a lot of the time. I will be, according to Guy, on so many business trips, ministry trips to Asia, that I'll be there at least 4 months of the year, cumulative, working on radio and internet audio and SD card chips and speaker boxes, all these ways to get the audio gospel to people. I am going to have to raise a ton of support. I just got my budget yesterday, and you know, the Lord assured me today, if I've called you to it, what is scared about?
Well,
I'm not. Let's get rolling.
Well, you're not the only one that would ask that. Or how would you respond? How did you respond? My thing is, it's a daunting task. Your faith level has grown to the point where you're able to move forward. You've seen the Lord time and again. But others who might be listening even right now might feel an urge, feel a prompting, a calling, and God opened up the door, but they can't bridge the gap of faith, so to speak. And how do you believe God for such immense amounts in these next steps that you're taking? How do you, Jeffrey Anderson, how do you do it?
I can only say it's the Holy Spirit. I mean, I used to scoff at missions organizations, saying, "Raise your support. Who are you kidding?" Because I was working for CBN. I'm getting good salary, a middle manager, a man of programming and operations manager. Why raise support? This is the way to do it. Get paid to do the gospel. But over the years, I have seen, you know, you can do much more ministry hands-on as a missionary, and that means raising support. And I have slowly come around through 25 summer mission trips of raising support, plus while teaching English in Japan, Tokyo was the most expensive city in the world, according to the United Nations. We had to raise about 1/5 extra from supporters, church supporters, to supplement my income of English teaching there with a wife and 2 kids to support, kids at mission school. And so I've come around, you know, maybe raise support is such a bad thing after all. And now, it may sound stupid, Danny, but I am eager to get going and see how God will miraculously provide in raising my support. It's It's just a daunting task if you look at it with the eyes of the flesh. When you look at the eyes of the spirit, I say, it's not my worry, God. It's your worry. And you know something? You're not worrying, so why should I?
You've seen the Lord already put some things in motion, haven't you?
That's right. And, you know, it's just so phenomenal how hand in glove this position with Far East Broadcasting is. I'm going to serve on the international service team, serving our country directors all over Asia and Eastern Europe and down into Africa. I'm going to be serving them in the areas of programming, audience relations, and research. Now, last month, my boss out in Colorado, Guy West, he sent me my job description. And as I read it, I was laughing, saying, this sounds familiar. It's my resume turned into a job description. Well, last month at the National Liberty Broadcast Convention, I met Ed for the first time in person. I jokingly told him, you know, Ed, you must have had my resume right beside you and wrote the job description to match it. He says, to be honest, Jeff, I haven't seen your job description since October. I just sat down and wrote out the needs we had. Why does it match your job description? I said, word for word.
Wow.
That was one confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, you know the other one. On the ending Friday night celebration with Ann Grand Lott and the Gettys, Irish singers and everything, closing out the NIV convention. When it all ended at 9:30 at night, I was walking out of the ballroom with 1,500 other people. We all had our name badges on, and this one woman sees mine and says, Jeffrey. And I look over at this woman smiling at me, so I went over to her, and she said, God has nudged me to talk to you. We didn't know why. We didn't know each other. So we started talking. As we talked, I segued into I'm leaving 36 years with my employer behind at age 66, going into full-time missions, and told her how much I had to raise and support. She turned to talk to her husband. I figured conversation's over. I walked off. A few moments later, she came running after me, yelling, Jeff, wait. She opened a checkbook and made out a check to Far East Broadcasting Company with my name on the memo line for $5,000. This is how God works. It's not my worry about raising support. God brings it in.
Jeff, these stories, you know, I was there with you. I mean, I was sitting with you. We sat next to each other, you know, so that must have happened right after I said goodnight, you know, and left. That's really bringing faith to life. We're not just talking about God moving miraculously, you know, in the dynamic pages of the vellum of Scripture. These things are happening in the 21st century. I mean, a month ago, 3 weeks. In fact, dear one, as you listen today, as Jeff Anderson shares his story, there are things that God continues to do and will do in your life, perhaps even right now, is moving in your heart. Maybe you're the one to call a Jeffrey in your life that God has prompted for you to connect with. Maybe it's for you to write a seed check, whatever amount God puts on your heart, and mail it. Maybe it's for you to hold up in faith and say, hey, be built up, dear one. Be built up, dear friend. God is reminding you that what vision he's put on your heart, and you've seen confirmation, there is more to come. It's right around the corner, like a surprise. And Jeffrey Anderson will be back with more. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky, leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Have you enjoyed this episode of The Good Life? We have hundreds of episodes ready to stream on demand. Visit thegoodlifehawaii.com to find encouragement in business, relationships, athletics, and much more.
Hear me calling. You're You're listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guest.
I don't know about you, but as I listen to Jeff Anderson talk about how God has been moving in his life and how his life of faith is such that even in this season of his life, he's not downshifting. He's maybe downshifting to gain even more power so he can accelerate. Yeah, that's what he's doing. But sometimes you might feel like when you listen to someone like that, it's like they're in the candy store, they're chomping on those sweet morsels, but you're looking from the outside, just peering through the window. You can't seem to touch it. Well, maybe, dear friend, today, maybe this is your moment to take a step over the threshold. Maybe you have not yet opened your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we're here with Jeff here at the Good Life Radio Show. And I want to ask Jeff Anderson today to share the gospel, share the good news. What does that mean? What could that mean to you? And also lead you in an opportunity to receive Christ. Jeff, could you do it? Would you do it, dear brother?
Sure thing, Danny. Sure thing. For those listening, maybe you go to church, maybe you've gone to church all your life. But you know, there's the difference between head knowledge and heart knowledge. You may believe in your head, yes, I understand Jesus is the Son of God. That's believing. But the Bible says to believe in. I quoted earlier John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. My favorite verse, John 1:12, but as many as received him who believed in his name, he gave the power and privilege to become children of God. Now that Greek word, believe in, means to lean upon, to trust in, to cling to rely upon. And just look at your life for a moment. Do you believe in Jesus in the head? Believe Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. Or do you believe in Jesus? Do you lean upon and cling to and trust in him? Have you received him? That is the difference. That is the new life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away and the new has come. And so we know that the word is correct, which says, though your sins be as scarlet, I shall make them as white as snow. Though they as crimson, I shall make them as wool. So if you would like that new life, to take Jesus from knowing about him in your head to knowing him personally in your heart, just pray with me this short prayer right now, this prayer of faith. Simply this, pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess I need you. I've been going my own way, but I turn to you. Come into my heart. Take over my life. Give me this new life in Christ. The old has now passed away, and my sins are now forgiven because I believe in Jesus as my personal Savior and Lord. I thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
And if you have done that, John chapter 3 says, Jesus says, ye must be born again. You have now entered the new life, born a second time. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come.
Someone might say, Jeff, is it that easy? Is it that quick?
That easy?
I don't feel the pinwheels spinning and the fireworks going off in my head. Is it authenticated in me?
It's authenticated in the scripture, which promises to as many as received him. Again, he gave the right to become children of God who believed in his name. That is God's promise in John 1:12. It is yours. It is his promise in 2 Corinthians 5:17 that you are in Christ. You are a new creation. People are all different. Yes, I had pinwheels and explosions going off in my head. My wife got saved in 1964 at the Billy Graham Crusade in Boston Garden. She bawled her eyes out. When my parents got saved, It was, well, thank you very much. I'm saved. No immediate change, but it slowly, gradually came to them in new life. My wife's parents, don't ever say you're too old. My wife's parents came to the Lord at 88 years old. Now, were they doing handstands and cartwheels? No. It affected them differently, but they were saved. My father-in-law knew it immediately, and he was a new creation.
So what would you say to someone who said the prayer with you? Their hearts resonate with your heart. What would be the next step? What happens next after making that decision?
You need to start growing, and that means, one, pray every day. How do I do that? Talk to God. How? Talk to him just like your best friend, because he is now your best friend. Secondly, get into the scripture. Open the Bible, New Testament. Read the Gospel of John first. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, fourth book of the New Testament. When you finish that, go back and start reading the Gospels again. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and again John, and up through the rest of the New Testament. Read a couple of Psalms every day. Read a chapter of Proverbs every day. And thirdly, go tell somebody what you've done. Go tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. And very importantly, fourthly, go to a church. Tell the pastor, I've been born again. If he looks at you, you've been what? Go to another church. Find one that preaches the gospel, that believes in being regenerated, being born again in Jesus' name. And,
you talked about this fourth point, going to church, the importance of that. You said a few things throughout our time together today that really stood out to me. Here you are in this particular season of your life, in your mid-60s, and you're still going to your pastor and bringing before him and some of the elders an opportunity or maybe a prompting that God put on your heart of a next step to do in your life. Some people might say, well, hey, aren't you sophisticated enough to make the decision on your own? You're still consulting. You're still seeking, sitting under the authority of the pastor. What security is there in that?
Well, the Bible says in the counsel of men is wisdom. And it also says that a three-cord fold cannot be broken. Three-cord strand cannot be broken. So the more wisdom I have from those who are wise in the Lord and who are really over me, my pastor, the associate pastor, the better that is to know God's will. And actually, if I can just keep it quickie, to know God's will, number one is the Word of God. It's never wrong. That's why I got to read the Bible. Number two is prayer. Pray. Number three is a word from the Lord, like that lady giving me the $5,000 check. That was right from the Lord. Number four is godly counsel. Number five is circumstances. Try never to go on circumstances alone, but go up the line from step five, circumstances, to step four, godly counsel, to step three, a word or intervention from the Lord, to step two, prayer, to step one, the Bible. And that all comes really under being discipled by a good man or woman of God at a church.
We got a minute left, Jeff. A parting shot to someone who is in. Well, you've given a quickie right now, but give an additional parting shot to someone who is in a point of transition in their life. What would you
say? Okay. I'll use a secular word from Nike. Just do it. Just do it. Don't hold back. I'm 66. I'm going to give Far East Broadcasting 15 years more of my life till I'm 81 years old. That's my plan. I pray it's God's plan. I'm going to go do it. I mean, my favorite quote is from John Greenleaf Whittier. For of all sad words or tongue or pen, the saddest are these, it might have been. Danny, nobody wants to look back and say, oh, I wish it had been different. I want to have done it all and have no regrets. And I'm going to.
And it's been a privilege to be your friend, dear Brother Jeff, to sit next to you, to talk with you, even to share heart to heart with you, and as you have so graciously done with our dear listeners. Jeff Anderson, thank you so much for your friendship. Thank you very much. Dear one, I hope that you've been encouraged by the story of Jeffrey Anderson. And, you know, like I always say, in light of that, you know, there's no better time than right now, even as Jeff has, to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And if you haven't done so, even as Jeff has just a few moments ago, open your heart to Jesus Christ. Go to thegoodlifehawaii.com, click Get to Know Jesus. I've got a special presentation set up for you there. If you'd like to help us with your financial support to make a donation, well, go to thegoodlifehawaii.com and click Partners. Proverbs 13:14 says, "The teaching of the wise is a fountain of life, turning a person from the snares of death." It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to Jeffrey Anderson. Until next time, along with my technical producer, Chaz Ontai, guest coordinator, Jamie Lee Kwai, and web designer, Arlen Nagata, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let Him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org, and may God richly bless you with The Good Life. Just leave it to me. I'll leave.